Brothers and sisters, it's been a wonderful week. We have been so spiritually fed, and I pray now that I might be able to share something that will be appropriate. Before doing so, I would like to express my love and appreciation to Bishop Brown and Bishop Peterson for 8.5 wonderful years of association in the presiding bishopric, and to the 70 and the 12 and the First Presidency who have been so supportive and encouraging. I express my love and continued support for them. I would also like to acknowledge those wonderful brothers and sisters who work behind the scene here at headquarters and throughout the world to provide so many services and resources to help move the work along. It's marvelous to be in the service of the Lord and now to be called as a witness for our Lord and Savior, and return to a land that I love more than I can express. There's just about as much emotion as I can handle at one time. So I pray that I might be able to fulfill the expectations of that wonderful call. Now, in the Pearl of Great Price, we read that the Lord delivered Abraham from idolatrous sacrifice. He introduced himself as Jehovah and declared, "Abraham, I will lead thee by my hand, and I will put upon thee my name, even the priesthood of thy father, and my power shall be over thee, and through thy ministry my name shall be known in the earth forever, for I am thy God." This blessing was extended to Abraham's posterity, who would bear this ministry and priesthood unto all nations. The covenant children of Abraham were to be distinguished by their sacred obligation to declare to the world the true and living God. Not only were they to be believers and worshipers, but his witnesses, boldly testifying of him among the unbelievers. Now, God has once again spoken from the heavens and restored the fullness of the gospel through his chosen prophet. We have become the covenant children of Abraham, a new generation of witnesses to bear testimony that God lives and Jesus is the Christ. We are to be a pure people, a holy people, fully committed and zealous in our proclamation of the gospel in word and deed. This is an awesome responsibility. In the Book of Mormon, we are told that to be called his people, we must be willing to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places, even unto death. As individual members of the church, it is in the everyday context of our lives that this witness we exemplify comes under constant scrutiny. May I share with you a personal experience to illustrate just how humbling this can be? I was employed by a major corporation for almost 25 years. During those years, I developed a personal relationship with a fine business associate from Texas. Our careers parallel very closely. A few years ago, he presented me with a most unusual gift, which I shall always cherish. It was a large, molded, bronze, personalized coat of arms. He said, "I've been observing you for many years and have created an original coat of arms using symbols which I believe represent the four most important values to which you have committed your life, namely your church, your family, your profession, and your quest for personal development." Well, naturally, I was surprised, deeply impressed, and flattered. And as the significance of this gift settled upon my mind, the thought of someone quietly taking mental notes of my actions, attitudes, and values fired my imagination. I realized the weight of responsibility each of us has to demonstrate accurately the principles and priorities to which we are committed. It was just like a mini foretaste of Judgment Day. I thought of the scripture in Revelation when John saw the books opened and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. It was a most sobering experience. Now, each of us gives our life daily for what we believe is important. Those with whom we associate are silently assessing us, our values and character traits, Is there anything about our daily conduct we would change if we knew someone was doing a written appraisal for publication? Suppose you received, as a head of a family, a telephone call from your stake president who said, "The local newspaper is doing a series of articles on the church. They have asked permission for a reporter to move in with a Mormon family for a week to observe firsthand what a Mormon family is really like. And we have selected you to represent the church in our stake." Now you say, "Yes, President, we'd be happy to do it." Now you have 7 children ranging from 2 months to 19-year-old son awaiting his mission call. Little time is allowed for sprucing things up. Just a typical week with life as you live it. This actually happened to Max and Nettie Ann Nelson of Boise, Idaho in 1983. How proud I was of this fine family as I read the reporter's account. What a positive impression was made upon him. The question going through your mind is possibly the same one that I had. If our family were selected, would we be ready? To the Nephites, Jesus said, "Hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which you should hold up." In a related admonition, Peter counseled that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. To the Israelites and again to the Nephites, the Lord commanded, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Are we not false witnesses if we are untrue to gospel principles we profess but do not practice? Most damage to the collective reputation of the church is done by those who want to straddle the line with one foot in the kingdom and the other foot in spiritual Babylon. Those who so compromise their principles want to play for both teams at once, the Lord's and Satan's, as if to say, "I want to wait to see which side's winning before I declare myself." There are some members who are not concerned about their outward appearances and actions, realizing that they know what they really are on the inside. These individuals inevitably are judged guilty by association. To be judged fairly, we must avoid the very appearance of evil. We would do well to remember the words quoted by President McKay, "Whate'er thou art, act well thy part." Character is revealed under pressure. Let me illustrate. A few years ago, Lord Gordon B. Hinckley related this inspiring story. "I talked with a young man recently returned from the war. He too had walked the jungle patrols, his heart pounding with fear. But reluctantly, he admitted that the greatest fear he had was the fear of ridicule. The men of his company laughed at him, taunted him, plastered him with a nickname that troubled him. They told him the things they reveled in. Then on one occasion when the going was rough, he faced them and quietly said, 'Look, I know you think I'm a square. I don't consider myself any better than the rest of you. But I grew up in a religious home, in a religious town. I went to church on Sundays. We prayed together as a family. I was taught to stay away from these things. It's just that I believe differently. With me, it's a matter of religion, and it's a kind of way of respecting my mother and my dad. Now, all of you together might force me toward a compromising situation, but that wouldn't change me, and it wouldn't make you feel right after you'd done it." One by one, they turned silently away. But during the next few days, each came to ask his pardon, and from his example, others gained the strength and the will to change their own lives. He taught the gospel to 2 of them and brought them into the church. Now, as church members, we all benefit when one of us is honorable and righteous. Some years ago, I made a speech at a business convention, and when I'd concluded, a distinguished gentleman came up to me and asked, "Are you a Mormon?" And I responded, "Yes." And he said, "I'm associated with John Russin, a member of your church. You know, he's the finest practicing Christian I have had the pleasure to know." Now to him, and I'm sure countless others, Brother Russin, who's currently the president of the St. George Temple, is a reliable witness. One of our greatest needs is for true witnesses among our youth. Young people need models from their own generation. Thankfully, we have a tremendous army of Latter-day sons and daughters of Helaman, stripling Saturday's warriors, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Rather, they have turned this commitment to the Lord into an advantage. Let me tell you of one. Steve Haas is a student body president at New Canaan High School in Connecticut. Of its 2,300 students, only 24 are Latter-day Saints. Steve ran unopposed in a landslide election. Now, this is impressive, but even more impressive is Steve's moral courage, his commitment to living the principles of the gospel. The Haas family lived for a time in Tampa, Florida. Steve played junior high school and basketball. When his family was preparing to move to Connecticut, the coach told Steve's father how much he appreciated and admired Steve, not just because he's a fine athlete, but because of his deep religious convictions. He doesn't preach sermons, he just quietly lives his religion each day. I remember, said the coach, a group of us were in the squad room, and one of the boys pulled out a copy of Playboy magazine. They opened to the centerfold and began to make some vulgar comments. I noticed Steve walk away, so I followed him and asked if anything was wrong. And he said, "Oh, I'm okay, coach, but that just isn't my kind of thing." The coach said, "Steve made us all better people. When he joined us, most of the guys were swearing. Then they stopped swearing around Steve, and after a while, they pretty well stopped swearing altogether." When I heard this tribute, I thought of Paul's counsel to Timothy. "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Ye are my witnesses," said the Lord through Isaiah. Let us stand tall, brothers and sisters, and be not ashamed to take upon us the name of Christ. May God bless us as a church and as individuals, that the testimony we bear as his witnesses will be true and clear and fully reliable. I humbly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.